a star on my car and one on my chest, a gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's a boss on this highway, so watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm a working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Oh, yes, highway patrol. We know what time it is. 9:15 on this Thursday morning. KWHI Safety Talk in studio. Corporal Jimmy Morgan from the DPS here in studio. Answer your questions. Highways, byways, backways, waterways and skyways, whatever it is, he's got your questions to answer for you today. 979-836-9937, a number in studio, or send us an email, and I've got that opened up, mail, M-A-I-L at KWHI.com, to get your questions answered today from Safety Talk and Corporal Jimmy Morgan. As always, Corporal Morgan, we appreciate you coming in and spending time with us today.
Not a problem. Glad to be here.
It's been a while.
Well, yeah, y'all were busy.
Last week was...
This is on you.
Yeah, I needed a little time.
How did that go?
It was good. It was a great week. The auction was last Thursday, and over $800,000 they sold in the Virginia Livestock Auction last Thursday.
So, man.
It was a good day.
That sounds good.
Good for the kids.
Well, since I've been gone, things are just rolling right along. It's what, fall? Started fall yesterday?
Yesterday, yes it is. So, it is fall, autumn.
Felt good this morning on the way to drive down here. And one of the things that, before I get started, is this time of year, I don't know about so much Washington County, but like Milam County up there, they're under a severe drought. So I'm warning people, it's never a good time one way or another to... throw your cigarettes outside, your window or anything. That's when they make ashtrays for. But there's a chance of starting a good fire now because it's pretty dry in certain parts of Texas. So just caution people, keep your cigarette butts inside your vehicle. And we definitely appreciate it. And I'm sure your fire departments would appreciate that too, because as you travel along some of the highways, you can see where they've had to come out and put out some of the fires that obviously probably were started by somebody throwing a cigarette outside the window. So I just want to pass that on as we get started today. Let's see here. As a state, our fatality rate somewhere in the neighborhood now, the last count of 2214, which is about 276 fatalities per month and 9.2-point deaths per day. And, again, we had not had a deathless day in our state highways since November 7th, year 2000.
How does that number stack up with the previous years?
As we continue on, we're averaging the last 5 years somewhere around 3290 a year. So we're going to be in that neighborhood as we proceed. So I figure we're going to be 32, 33. Mm-hmm. Again, twin tires every year on our highways. So we do better in some places and we make improvements. Then we look over, for example, if you asked me 10 years ago, what would be some of the things that y'all look at as a department to knock down our fatality rate? And you normally saw it during these, holiday travels and stuff. Mm-hmm. One would be, impaired driving, aggressive driving, seatbelt usage and all that. And then all of a sudden here come the technology, and now we're talking about where we've made improvements over, the stat I saw 2014 compared to 2013, all alcohol-related fatalities went from 32 to 29%. So we made improvement over there, mm-hmm. but here comes the cell phones and stuff like now that are so we got another factor starting to play a role on this and distracted driving. That's why now, if your kid is involved in driver's education or taking any kind of driver school, whatever, they're going to have to go through this two-hour Texas Impact Team Driving course. It's a video about distracted driving and all that, because that young group there is a lot of the fatalities that we have to do with our teenager, and a lot of them have to do with being distracted on these type of devices. So that's going to be – and you're going to have to – have that certificate to go in to take your actual driving test within a 90-day period. So that is one of the laws that got implemented this session and started September 1st. So I think a lot of parents that are doing parent-taught driving or sending their school kids these, or even here at the Brenham High School, if they do it there, that these kids will have to go through that program to get their driver license. So it's about 13% of our fatality rate each year right now. So I think 483 deaths last year on distracted driving that we're aware of. Obviously, we don't get told the truth on everything that some people get embarrassed exactly what they're doing, and it's the dog or the deer or whatever right out in front of them, and they swerve to miss it, whatever the situation may be. But you see a lot of our fatality rate accidents more on rural highways and roadways than you do in your urban areas and stuff. And a lot of that is because your farm-to-market roads tend to be a little smaller, a little bit more windier. And so if you make a mistake at 70 miles an hour on some of these type of roadways and you're not prepared for that curve or you went into it too fast, then you got that uh-oh effect, and that's not a good effect. I mean,
and especially in a lot of them, they're not asphalt, they're caliche or dirt roads, and that even adds to it as well.
Especially on your county road, you're exactly right. So let's see what else. I got some calls. I don't know if got the sheriff here, so he can answer some of these questions. I'm going to throw them in the governor here since he's dumb enough to sit down next to me here. But I don't know if the county or Brenham PD gets a lot of these type calls. But I was getting some calls from listeners on another program of mine about golf carts. And I know Round Top's coming out and some of these other events. Chapel Hill, when is that coming up? Pretty quick.
The Scarecrow Festival, it's a couple of weeks for the Scarecrow Festival.
Me and my wife, we actually went down to that last year and had a good time. And so some of these events draw these type of vehicles and whatever. And so I tell people this. State law is the simplest way I can put it. A golf cart is meant for transportation to and from a golf course within 2 miles of your residence. And it can be operated on a roadway not posted more than 35 miles an hour. You can cross over a roadway that's higher posted than that. That's the simple terms. And you're not required to have a driver license in that mode of operation. Your kid's on the golf team, maybe a freshman or whatever. They're going to allow that 2 mile to the extension to the golf course. Now, I don't have rules of what the policy of a golf course is, who they want on their golf course. I can just tell you the transportation to and from. Now, anything besides that, your county or your city can adopt their own ordinance and allow other use of golf carts in their city limits or their county on special events, whatever it may be, and long as the road, again, is not over 35 miles an hour. So that's going to be left up to your city or your county if that comes to issue, especially on some of these type of events, whatever. But just thought I'd pass that on because I have been getting some questions on the golf carts. And then you roll into the ATV vehicles, seems to be a popper. Since we're going into hunting season and all that, you'll see a lot of people trailing these up down the road, some even on your farm-to-market roads and stuff. So basically on your ATV vehicles, your limited use would be police officers, farmer rancher, or municipality, maybe they have a meter reader guy that's what they use to check the meters and stuff. So that's accessible. The only thing that's been added on that, on these type of vehicles, if the vehicle will go less than 25, and that's also on a golf cart, then sensibility has put a slow movement emblem on the back of that. But you are required on these AT vehicles to have the 8-foot pole and the flag on that. So, just a reminder on that. And one other thing on these type of vehicles on the roadway, motorized mobility device, these are items that you normally see with handicapped type people. You're seeing more and more of them being operated on the roadway. These vehicles tend not to exceed 8 miles an hour. Because of that, we treat them just like pedestrians. So whatever rules and laws that you have on pedestrian walking on a street also apply to these. So these devices need to be operated facing traffic, not going with traffic like a bicycle. So just thought I'd point that out because I saw a gentleman over in Rockdale the other day actually going down a left turn lane in one of these things. Not a good deal to do. So I had to have a little visit with him. Certainly, you don't want to be the person that hits somebody like that. So, Other than that, that's what I got on mobility devices. So got any calls, questions, emails, or anything?
No phone calls yet. I'm checking emails and not seeing anything yet. So if people do have, you have a question for Grandpa Morgan in studio this morning, whatever it may be, 979-836-9937. Here for you are emails if you can't get to the phone real quick. You just want to choose an email. 979-836, emails is mail, mail at kwhi.com. Again, mail at kwhi.com to get your questions asked and answered here on Safety Talk.
Do you want to take a break now and get into some of the new laws, or do you have...
If you need to take a break now, we can do that for
let's
you.
Let's do that. Let's go ahead and take a break and give our listeners a chance to call in, and then I've got some more stuff I'll continue to go with after the break.
All right, we'll be back more Safety Talk in a moment. And again, 979-836-9937 or mail at kwhi.com. Get your questions on the Safety Talk today. Back after this.
Cruzy Village, Brenham's full-service retirement community, has active senior apartments ready for move-in. These spacious and updated apartments are for seniors 55 and over and are designed so you can enjoy life without worrying about all the hassles. Choose an all-inclusive plan that includes housekeeping, maintenance, meal plans, and linen service, or a plan that fits your lifestyle. Cruzy Village has move-in specials for September and October, so call 979-830-1996 to schedule a lunch tour today, or visit online at cruzyvillage.org. Cruzy Village. Retirement living at its best in beautiful Brenham.
Swim all year round at the City of Brenham's Bluebell Aquatic Center. The Bluebell Aquatic Center offers a number of programs and classes for children and adults throughout the year. This year, Kidfish is on Saturday, September 26th. Kidfish has grown to be one of the most popular events of the year. Hundreds of pounds of catfish are dumped into the outdoor leisure pool, and anglers of all ages can attempt to hook the big one. Bring your own pole or use the ones on site. Additional activities include a rubber ducky hunt, open swim in the indoor pool, and booths offering drug awareness, ID kits, home safety, EMS stores, and Boy and Girl Scout booths on fishing skills and safety. Kidfish promotes fishing, the outdoors, and spending time with family. Trophies are awarded to the top catchers, and all this Kidfish fun is free. Find out more by calling the City of Brenham Recreation Line, 337-7250, or visit them online at cityofbrenham.org. The Bluebell Aquatic Center, 1800 East Tom Green in Brenham. Don't miss Kidfish on Saturday, September 26th. Come out and have a fantastic time.
Glissman's is celebrating 90 years, still in the same location, still with the same family. Check out their new look. Stop in between 11 and 2 and enjoy lunch at their remodeled counter serving barbecue sandwiches, bratwurst dogs with sauerkraut, chili cheese dogs, and now offering a salad bar. Looking for birthday, wedding, or anniversary gifts? Or gift for some other special occasion? Now just in, new lines of candles, jewelry, German selections, and more. Hurry to Glissman's, open daily from 8 to 5 at 106 West Main Street in downtown Brenham.
It's Brenham Cub football on KWHI.
Erline, straight drop. He's throwing deep down the middle and just going to be caught. Touchdown, Darvis Watson.
Wow, what a
caught
play.
Caught it in double coverage and takes it in for six.
They were rushing for it. They went across the goal line, and Darvis ends up with the football.
Friday night, it's homecoming and the district opener as the Brenham Cubs host Tom Ball Memorial. Kickoff at Cubs Stadium set for 7 o'clock. 6:30 pregame, KWHI and KWHI.com.
Back once again, Safety Talk on KWHI. Craig Montana being joined by Corporal Jimmy Morgan from the DPS in studio. Again, questions for him? He's here. He loves answering your questions. He wants to talk to you. 979-836-9937 or send us an email, mail at kwhi.com. And you'd rather talk to people, right, Corporal Morgan?
Oh, yeah, I'm here for them. I'm not here for myself. I hear myself talk all the time. I usually try to put out something that's going on with the department and some things I've got calls on, and to try to stay up on everything and try to keep everybody. For instance, I have the, I think I touched this last show I was here, that, you know, they put out there was 700 bills passed. Now, there was about 6,000 of them introduced this last session, and I've got two of the 700. They have four that they've given me that they think has to do something what I do.
All right, well, we're going to hold on for that just one moment.
Okay.
We got a phone call today.
All right.
Good morning, Insurance Safety Talk. What can we do for you today?
Yes, sir. Hello. I've always had a problem getting on the exit over there, the new one across from Apple Ford that comes out of the from the Budweiser warehouse over there. And no one seems to yield. You know, you've got a stop sign there, and when I get on the highway, I got to go down on the shoulder and take my chances to get back on. Shouldn't there be a sign that says yield emerging traffic?
Well,
or what
yield emerging traffic. Now,
or something, you know.
If you, so you're coming off an off-ramp onto a highway?
Well, I'm coming.
Or on-ramp, I would say.
Well, I'm coming from the feeder, stop on the at the stop sign, it's the stop sign there, and take a right, and it's got a running lane, you know, with a solid stripe, and then it got a little a path for exit way on the end of it, but no, very, very few people will yield to you, and you have to go down the shoulder to get on.
Okay, I would have to take a look at that to see exactly what you're talking about. I know I passed through that area, but typically any service road that you're on and you take an on-ramp to enter onto a highway, you have to yield to the traffic that's already on the roadway. So that's all in timing. And now a lot of people don't believe that, and they'll just pull right out in front of you. And so, you know, as a courtesy driver, what are you doing? You're going down the road and you see somebody trying to get onto the roadway. And if you got that extra inside lane, then you move over and allow them. And then whatever, you either back off or stay behind them, or you pass them up, then you move back over to the outside lane. So typically people all on the highway have the right of way in that situation. And you have to adjust your speed according to fit in the traffic that's out on the highway.
Yes, now when I come off the exit from HEB, we're getting back on 290, I'll have a problem. Everybody moves over for you to get on before you get to the railroad track overpass, but no one seems to want to yield, or I guess it'd be more of a courtesy then to pull over in that area I'm talking about.
That's correct. That's correct.
But, I feel it possibly should be a sign, you know.
Look, they see you, right? I mean, there's no doubt that they see you. But the attitude that we have on our Texas highway, and I tell people this all the time, our highways are not dangerous. It's the people that drive on them, if you think about
right.
it. So it's the attitude that people have that day that they're in their motor vehicle, whether they want to let you in or work with you and try to help you out. Especially in these big trucks like that, it's a little harder for you guys to merge in than it is a passenger car. So there's no doubt in my mind that that it just it's the persons that are watching you, whether they want to help you out or not. So, but just the way the law is now at this point, you're trying to merge onto the highway. They have actually, if there's an accident, they have the right of way on the roadway. So,
okay.
I hate to break it to you that way. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, well, I almost, you know, had an accident a few times because I felt, you know, like they should be courteous enough to let me, at least when I get to the end of the little solid white lane, to get it on the highway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that. But like I say, it's just you know, it's just like working with each other, trying to merge in. That's why they call it a merging lane.
Right.
I mean, so.
Okay, I appreciate that information.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for the phone call. There we go, 979-836-9937 today. And we got an email question coming now for Cooper Morgan.
Sure, go ahead.
We're on a roll here now.
It does is take a break, right? that's what you always say, it takes a break.
You get one, that first one. You get that first one, and we're good. Here we go. We got one ATV question. They live on a paved road in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Their mailbox is a quarter mile away from the house.
Okay.
They have a Kawasaki mule.
Right.
Can they drive that mule to the mailbox to get their mail?
That don't sound like farm use to me.
Well, if you got a farm bill off in there, you got to go pay.
Maybe. Well,
okay. you're paying off some of that farm with the bill.
Let me tell you what you do in that situation. You get stopped by an officer. And I had a lady before they had the equine. I might have already told this story before, but there was a lady that she was in a barrel race and stuff like that. And, you know, before they added equine activity to the farm register plate, if you were hauling horses, depending on your answer that you gave an officer, you either were in violation of law or you're not. Because if you said I was using them horses to round up cattle down the road, you were not in violation. But rodeo tends to be a commercial enterprise. So this lady said, I get a ticket where I know a lady's doing the same thing that I am, but she never gets a ticket. Why is that? And I said, because she knows what to say to the officer when she gets pulled over. So in this situation here, officer, I'm coming down the road here. I have a little farm and ranch here. I'm within the 25 miles, which is the rate you get. And I was told I got my farm magazine in the mailbox here. And so I come out and picked it up and see if you'll buy it. I don't know.
I got a farm bill. Paying off farm bills, right?
So that's so I don't know. So it's all about how you interpret. So each officer, that's why it's hard to say. I tell people all the time that I never speak for another officer that is out there looking at everything and coming to a conclusion what he needs to do. Because if you're not there and don't see all the particular facts going on, it's hard for you to make that call, especially sitting behind a radio mic. So common sense has a large play to do with it. And you're just trying to work with people as much as you can. So, mm-hmm. That's kind of the rule of thumb on that.
All right. We got another phone call here.
All right.
Good. Well, we had a phone call. Call back. That may have been another country store call or something like that.
I was thinking the word discretion.
Discretion?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Try it again. Good morning. Safety Talk today. Have a question for Corporal Morgan.
No, I got an answer for what that gentleman called about a while ago about those yield signs. There's yield signs on the service roads when you come off of by ATB and by Budweiser and all that. There's yield signs there and a solid white stripe.
Okay.
So that's all I got to say.
All right.
Well, thank you. Uh-huh. All right. Appreciate it.
So is he going on or going off the highway or going on?
I think he said he was getting on the highway, getting off the feeder road onto the highway, and he's having trouble getting merging with the traffic already
on
the highway.
Can you cross over a solid white line?
No. Yes. double white line.
Double white line.
Double
is
white
where,
line.
Yeah, right. White line, you can see them in all different. You see them on ramps and stuff like that. You'll see them approaching railroad tracks, whatever. It's suggested to stay in your lane, but you can actually cross over at one solid white line, like an improved shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Can you drive onto an improved shoulder? Well, for the right reasons,
you can.
And I'm fixing to go over some of them reasons. And but a double white line, that's a no-no. That's more like a bear. And their signs will be posted.
Mm-hmm.
Do not cross double white line. So if you do that, that's actually a violation.
All right. I think we got another phone call here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk.
Yes, sir. I got a question about registration. I've got a vehicle that's registration is going to be due at the end of this month, but the inspection is not due till January of next year.
Right.
So how do I handle this?
You're going to go down and get your car registered. And I don't know if your sticker be in the program. A lot of these stickers and stuff, they've been recording the numbers and stuff. I don't know if it'll show up in the system or not. But if you get asked, you need to tell them that. So you're going to register your car. Now, when your inspection comes due first of the year, you're just going to take it off. You're not going to get your car inspected. Now, when your registration rolls around the following year, this time next year, the day of or 90 days out, they want you then go get the car inspected. But don't get it. So that's why they're trying to get you back in that 90-day period.
Right. I was just hoping.
So you're going to get a little extra on that inspection this year. State's going to tip their hat to you on that.
Well, I appreciate that, but I was afraid I might lose, and they may make me get it inspected now, and I'd lose a few months on it, you know.
Now, you just take it off, and like I say, when you go to get your car registered next year is when you're required to have your inspection on there within the 90-day period. That only applies to passenger vehicle. That does not apply to commercial inspections.
Right. This is a vehicle. This is a passenger. Right. I mean, it's a car. But I what I'll do when I go down to Belleville, I will just leave it on there. If they want to see it, they can look at it, you know, and then I'll take it off.
Okay. Well, that's the answer for today.
All right.
I hope I did answer your question.
Yeah, and I'll be sure and tell them Carpenter Morgan sent me.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Throw some names out there.
Give them the sheriff's department's phone number.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you.
All right, there we go. Once again, phone calls, easy as that, 979-836-9937. Whatever question you may have about anything dealing with the roadways, we'll get an answer for you today. Or you can send us that email here, mail, M-A-I-L, at kwhi.com. So, new laws.
You didn't know, I think the last time we talked, you didn't know that there was actually laws about leaving your keys and stuff in the vehicle running.
It gets a law to do that. You had to have your parking brake on, and it gets all.
It was 545-404. That was been in there, but that usually came into play, especially when people leaving their kids in the vehicle and stuff. Mm-hmm. Which why I think we're up to a nationwide up to 20 now.
A death. This year?
Yeah. So, which we average about 32 a year on that. So. Us going into the cooler months, maybe not be so high, one or two is too many, right?
You got that right.
So that's usually where that comes into play, because people leave the vehicle running and stuff like that with a young kid in the car if it gets too hot and whatever. But on our 545-404, things you're required to do is stop your vehicle, locking the ignition, removing the key from the ignition, setting your parking brakes, and then turning your wheels if you're on incline. Well, here comes House Bill 2194 that got put into law, which actually took effect June 19th, before September 1st, which allows a person to keep their vehicle running if they have the remote starter. So that's going to be added to that. So if you have a remote start, that you're going to be allowed to have your vehicle running without you being present inside the vehicle.
But only if you have the remote starter.
That's correct. Yeah. Or similar device exists. I don't know whatever kind of device you would have. But anyway, so that's kind of a new law. Got a call the other day, and a gentleman was asking about antique license plates, which this time of year you'll see a lot of these antique cars going up down the road. It kind of brought my attention that I remember I had another discussion years ago about these things. There's a form that people fill out when they get these antique license plates. It's called a VTR-54. And there's a statement that you read and you sign and date it when you're applying for antique or license plate. And it basically says this: my signature indicates that I'm now owner of described vehicle. The frame, body are at least 25 years old, and the vehicle is a collector's item and will be used solely for exhibition, club activities, parades, and other functions by the public interest. The vehicle will not be used for regular transportation and except from routine maintenance as needed. So what I'm saying here, when you sign these things, there are people always trying to find cheaper ways to get registration. I think these are $50 or whatever. Mm-hmm. So if you have one of these plates, antique license plates, be mindful that you sign a statement saying limited use for that vehicle. And these are not vehicles are not met because you get an exemption on the inspection on these type of vehicles. The reason you do, because there's limited use in these kind of exhibitions or parades and stuff. So if you're going to get license plates that says antique, well, remind yourself that you sign a statement saying that I'm not going to use it for normal, regular transportation, only if, as maintenance needed. So I just thought I'd pass that on again as we get to this time of year where a lot of people are taking, these events and stuff. Craig, let's take another break. I'm going to have to think of some kind of trivia question. I do have that $10 Max Donuts giveaway, mm-hmm. So I'm going to come up with a trivia question during the break.
You just give it to me, and we'll call it square.
Yeah, And
or even.
I'll see if I can hand that thing out today. So.
All right. There we go. Okay, we'll come back with more safety talk here. We've got about another 15 minutes in the show this morning. So if you had a question, you need to call in now, 979-836-9937 this morning, or send us an email, mail, M-A-I-L, at KWHI.com. I'm back. More safety talk coming up after this.
AJ's General Repair is your headquarters for starter and alternator repairs and general automotive repairs. AJ's General Repair is family-owned and operated, so you can be sure of quality work every time. Call Andrew Joswalk, owner of AJ's General Repair, at 979-203-1620. Or stop by 4570 Chadwick Hogan Road in Chapel Hill and see them for starter, alternator, and other general repairs. AJ's General Repair in Chapel Hill. Call 979-203-1620 for fast service today.
Head to the Colorado County Fair for Country Pride Countrywide. This year's 37th Annual County Fair kicks off on Thursday, September 24th, with the Queen's Pageant at 5:30, a ranch rodeo at 7:30, the carnival opening, and a dance featuring Morgan and Sarah from 8:30 till 11:30. Friday features a CPRA rodeo, more carnival fun, and music by Tim Kulhonik and the Lost Cause Band at 5:30. Grupo Vida and the Electric Cowboys at 8, and Bubba Wesley and Interstate Heartbreak at 10. Saturday is an exciting day with a fair parade in downtown Columbus, the Junior Livestock Sale, more rodeo and carnival fun and thrills, and music starting at 3 p.m. with the Tip Jar Gypsies, followed by Nathan Colt Young and Ray Wiley Hubbard. And don't miss Kevin Fowler hitting the stage at 11 p.m. Sunday is another fun-filled day featuring the Pet Show, Washers and Beanbags, and 4D Jackpot Barrel Racing. For loads of fun, lots of thrills, and great entertainment, get your season pass and head for the Colorado County Fair September 24th through the 27th.
Durham School Services, delivering students safe, on time, and ready to learn every day. Need some extra cash? Work part-time driving for Durham. Durham offers a competitive salary and professional training. Parents, you can bring your children to work with you. And it's a great opportunity to earn money and serve your community at the same time. If you're looking for a job with flexible hours and great pay, call Durham School Services at 979-277-0090 today. Stop by in person at 307 East 6th Street. Visit them online at Durham School Services.
You live for it.
Holmes caught the ball at the 35.
You love it.
And it is picked up.
It's what you do every weekend.
Rose has a man. Touchdown, Texas A&M.
Every pass, run, tackle, and touchdown is right here on the Texas A&M Sports Network.
This Saturday, it's the Aggies in Arkansas in the SEC opener. 6 o'clock kickoff, 5 o'clock pregame. I'm your voice for the Aggie, KWHI.
Welcome back once again to Safety Talk on KWHI. We got about another 10 minutes or so left in the show today, so if you want to get your questions asked, 979-836-9937 is our number, or send those emails to mail at kwhi.com. And looks like I think we might have a phone call here this morning already. And good morning, you're on Safety Talk today. Do you have a question for us?
Yes. I haven't been that direction in several weeks, but when I've had the experience of having to turn onto Chapel Hill Street at the overpass, going under the overpass, rather, the turn lane is still quite confusing. And the last time I went through there, I avoided a lot. But newcomers or people not familiar with the area might not have that advantage. But I would just wonder if the officer might make a comment on that, if there's anything that might be done for some attention be given to that.
Okay.
Is that Chapel Hill Road he's talking about?
No, Chapel Hill Street. This is one we talked about a few weeks ago that you had talked to TxDOT,
yes,
and they said they're going to do something with. This is the same street.
Sure. My impression is when they got through, the city got through all what they're doing there on the roadway, TxDOT plans to come back and make that a four-way stop and put some signage up and fix that left turn lane where it would actually go past the underneath turnaround. So there is a plan to fix that. I don't know the time frame that they're on for working with Brenham or what they're doing out there, but my understanding is that when they do get done, that there are some changes to come through that. So, yes, they have heard your concerns. They do agree. So there should be some changes coming up down the road.
Appreciate the help.
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah,
that's about a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, that we had talked about that. And so hopefully we'll get that fixed before long. But thanks, we thank you for at least, you know, bringing that to their attention.
Yeah, I mean, I have a long relation with TxDOT, and obviously we work hand in hand. They don't want to see an accident no worse than we do. You know, obviously that's no big deal.
All right, another phone call here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today.
Good morning. I know you were talking about the technology a little while ago,
mm-hmm.
as far as like cell phones and whatever. Is anyone in the highway department or anybody keeping statistics on whether an accident was actually caused by that, or is that too difficult to determine if
no.
they were, you know?
No, we are actually on the crash report. There are actually some codes on there that an officer would code on cell phone use or whatever. So that is part of a crash report if it's a factor in an accident. And because of that recording is why I'm able to tell you that last year in 2014 that there was 483 people killed on our Texas highway, which is about 13% of our total fatality. That was 35-34 last year. So we are keeping up with that, you know, as we investigate crashes and stuff and note that on a crash report if that is a contributing factor.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the phone call.
So, okay. Here's a quick Top Donut. What is this thing? Where'd it go?
Max
Donuts.
Max's.
Okay. Thompson and Cameron. Let's see here. How about what weight are you required on your RV boat trailer? At what weight are you required to get an inspection prior to registration, which everybody is now finding out that they've been getting by with it all these years.
Yeah. This new law that they got about
inspections. So what weight? I'll take that for a $10 Max Donut. And thanks, Mac Donuts, for sponsoring our program today. At what weight is that? Are you required at to get an inspection on your boat trailer, RV, or whatever trailer other than farm trailer?
All right, here we got a phone call. Good morning. Safety Talk today.
Yes, you ready to take this?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Good morning, Trooper.
How are you?
Fine. I got a question for you.
All right.
Pertaining to an intersection in a city, both highways are state-controlled, state-owned, state-maintained. The traffic signal belongs to the state. The city put cameras on that intersection. The city in this town.
Wait. Let's back up. When you say cameras, what kind of cameras?
Well, they're watching the intersection.
Yeah. Is it the monitors that actually monitors the type of traffic that changes the light? Is that what kind of cameras?
Evidently.
Okay.
It's run by an independent company. When you get a notice from them for running a red light, there's three different locations you have to call. One's in Ohio, one's in Phoenix. If you want to go to court, you have to notify Corpus Christi.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just on what constitutes running a red light. If you come into the intersection, if it turns yellow before you cross the white line, you are running a red light. Is that correct?
No.
No?
No.
My understanding is you have to be across the white lines and in the intersection when the light turns yellow. If you proceed across the white line after it's yellow, you are running a red light.
That's false. I don't know what to tell you.
But,
Here's how I can explain it. And this is where it comes into play, camera versus officer. Officer worth his weight is going to know that any part of that vehicle is in an intersection on a yellow light, or any part of your vehicle in that intersection and the light turns red, you are actually already in that intersection. No citation. The citation becomes when the light turns red and no part of your vehicle is in that intersection. That's when you have a problem. Another thing these red light cameras monitor is stopping the vehicle beyond the white light. I understand people are actually getting cited for that type of case, and that's part of a stop vehicle, you know, where it's past the white line. So they're looking at that. It's called stop beyond a designated point is what the violation would be. So this entering on a yellow light would be false, and if anybody's paying that, it is actually being wrongfully charged.
But, there were some other things I'd like to talk to you about pertaining to. But, you know, traffic motor law is what? Three-fourths of the book, only half of the one little piece is criminal law. There's less criminal law in the book than there is a motor vehicle.
Well, I hadn't counted the pages, but the transportation code is pretty thick. I'll give you that.
It is, boy. It's a lot complicated, but yeah. It's in the eye of the
Well,
board.
That's what I'm here for. I want to uncomplicate it for you. I want to make it a little bit easier to understand.
Yeah,
that's why I have this show.
But the thing is, if it's state-owned street roads and the intersection, does the state get part of the fine out of that or not?
Well, let me tell you how it's set up. Typically, the cities, municipalities, ones to install these things, they work the contracts with the companies. They typically a third of whatever raised at that red light camera intersection goes back to the company for the equipment and stuff. The other two-thirds of that is split between the municipality and the state. Now, when I say state, that's supposed to go to a trauma center far as to the state comptroller's office and ear tag for the trauma centers at your hospital. Now, whether that happens or not, your guess is as good as mine, but that's why they're set up.
Well, back checked on this light, and this light, I'm one of the victims. This light, there's been a lot of controversy about it.
Okay.
And I did a lot of back checking on it, and it seems that there's $1.9 million in outstanding tickets on that intersection.
Uh-huh.
So they're running a real good monetary collection station there.
Let's see if I can end the conversation as we run out of time on this point, that this came up during the legislation, these red light cameras, and there were some bills introduced to do away with them. That did not pass, did not make it to the governor's desk, and the comment that I've heard is this. If any municipality that has the red light cameras, if the citizens are strongly against them, then they can vote on these and have them taken out. AKA College Station. So that's the way they look at it. So if your citizens, if their lights are, this is Brenham we're talking about. What town are we talking? What town?
Should I say what town?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Tomball.
Okay. So if the citizens of Tomball wants to vote on these to have these things taken out, then the citizens have to make that decision.
Well, the citizens all went up in arms, too. But,
okay. Well, tell them get it on the ballot, and then they...
They won't put it on the ballot.
Oh, okay. I can't help that situation.
No, nobody can. All right, I appreciate your time, Trooper.
Yes, sir.
Right,
thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All the way from Tomball.
There we go. You're reaching everywhere now. Look at you. Reaching further than you thought. We got about a minute.
Well... Now that he brought that up, one other thing that's going on right now, there's kind of a loophole. We went from traffic red light enforcement cameras to speed enforcement cameras. And the reason that is being allowed now is because there's a loophole in that law. It says designated towards municipality are not allowed to have speed enforcement cameras. Did not say anything about the counties doing with these. So there's a few counties in the state, and they've started them off in school zones where they're actually using camera system to enforce speed zones in school zones. That's $150 administrative fee set up just like the red light cameras. So if you think cameras on red lights is a problem, let's see how this works out with the speed enforcer. One of these days, you won't need me. I'll just be here.
Oh, no. We're all going to need you. We're going to let you go. Real quick, about 5 seconds, they want to get a hold of you, as always.
Yeah, jimmy.morgan@dps.texas.gov or 979-776-3147. Or, you know, they can call you.
That's right. This is KWHI and Brenham's been Safety Talk.